Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this new podcast series where I'm sitting down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here in Bradford. And after the success of last month's episode, we're upping the ante with not one but two guests for this edition. And if you didn't know already, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And what better time to invite my first guest to come and talk to me? Fiona Langens, consultant breast surgeon. You are very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Fiona, can you perhaps start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey to becoming a breast surgeon?
I have, for as long as I can remember, wanted to enter into the field of medicine, and really possibly more specifically, always wanted to be a surgeon.
So where did you get your inspiration? What was it that first sowed the seed of not just perhaps I want to be a doctor, but I want to be a surgeon?
My parents were both teachers, or were both teachers. They're both retired now. Worked incredibly hard running a boys' boarding house. And I think I was probably influenced by some of the boys in the boarding house, if I'm totally honest with you. Mm. When I was younger, probably from the age of about 11 or 12, I would see some of these boys going off to medical school. I think that something helped. And then also at that time, there was a lot of very good American medical dramas that perhaps influenced me. And I can never, ever remember ever thinking about an alternative career from that point. I certainly chose my GCSEs with medicine in mind, and then, of course, my A-levels afterwards. So it really happened a good couple of years before the age of about 15 or 16.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny, because I think my inspiration, I mean, I trained as a nurse before moving into hospital management, but I think it probably all did begin with St Elsewhere. Right, even before your time, but sent elsewhere and Quincy and all those kinds of things, as well as some good old British dramas. But why did you choose Bradford then? What was it about Bradford that attracted you?
Bradford specifically has that really lovely balance of being a teaching hospital, but not being too big. The other thing about it is it has a wonderful mix of patients. So every patient that I see in clinic, everybody is different and brings something completely different. And then the Trust itself, it's incredibly friendly. I was made to feel very, very welcome. In addition to that, I married a Yorkshireman, and we live in Leeds. So trying to get a Yorkshireman to move from Yorkshire is nigh impossible. So that is another advantage of Bradford. It's very close to home.
Great, great. So let's think about our breast surgery service here then in Bradford, because it looks after around 500,000 patients with a suspected diagnosis of breast cancer. Could you give us a sense of how you feel the breast cancer service is going in the district and what its future is looking like?
I really feel incredibly proud to be part of the service here in Bradford. Over the last couple of years, we have managed so incredibly well in such difficult circumstances. Currently, looking at the last few months, we have consistently managed to hit our targets. When GPs refer us, we aim to see patients within 2 weeks. We're currently booking at 8 days. For the last 3 months, we've seen over 96% of patients within 2 weeks from referral for GP, and that's been consistent. In addition to that, another aim is to treat a patient within 62 days of referral from the GP. And again, over the last 3 months, we've consistently managed to do that for over 92% of patients. And there are a few reasons why we've been able to do this and why we're in this situation now. And one of those is one of the collaborations that we've had over the last couple of years with the private sector, with Ramsay Health. We have, throughout COVID, we have haven't stopped operating for our breast cancer patients. We've kept on top of the waiting lists, specifically for breast cancer care. And that has been really wonderful for our patients and really enabled us to deliver the service to help manage the anxiety through what is a really difficult time. In addition to that, we do also put on extra clinics when things are looking busy. We have put on evening and weekend clinics over the past year or so to manage those influxes of referrals.
Do you think that COVID has had a huge impact on everything? Every aspect of our lives, I think, has been impacted in some way. Have you noticed more people who have perhaps waited longer to come with early signs and symptoms of breast cancer or potential breast cancer as a consequence of COVID?
Yeah, so I think that I would have expected that to be the case. But certainly when you look at the numbers in Bradford, if you split the patients between those presenting with a symptom, with a change in their breast, with pain, with a lump, and split the screening patients, actually, we have treated exactly the same number of symptomatic patients during COVID that we had in the year prior to COVID. So although I would have expected that to be the case, I perhaps think that we've still seen the cancers, but what we've seen less of is perhaps the patients with symptoms that don't have cancer. So typically that would be a patient with breast pain. That's not necessarily a sign of breast cancer, but that is definitely somebody who we would see in our breast clinic for assessment. So our breast cancer numbers have remained very, very similar. What we've seen much less of is the screening patients, because the breast screening was halted during COVID. And that's something that we're really trying to get back on track in the region. And I certainly know that for our region, there are extra mobile units being put in place to try and catch up with those screening mammograms to get back on track.
Fiona, what role does family history play in breast cancer? We're often sort of alive to the potential of something being familial. You know, if you have siblings who have had breast cancer, if your mum's had breast cancer, what actual impact does it have on you as an individual?
What's really important to think about when we're considering family history is the fact that breast cancer is unfortunately incredibly common. Over 50,000 patients are diagnosed with breast cancer in the UK every year. And given that, you have a 1 in 7, 1 in 8 chance of developing breast cancer. So the likelihood is you are going to know somebody in your family that has had it. So it does have an impact. And certainly for those patients who are worried about it, there are very clear guidelines that GPs in the community can access to assess risk. If there are any questions about whether a patient has an increased risk, we have a family history service here at Bradford, a specific clinic that we run to assess patients' risk. And if they are deemed to be above population risk, they will be offered screening. If there is thought to be an incredibly strong link within the family, we also have good links with the genetic service run from Leeds, and we can refer patients there for consideration if there is a particular gene that might have changed that would put them at very high risk of developing breast cancer. And we offer the screening service here, so that would simply mean mammograms more often. So perhaps on a yearly basis rather than a 3-yearly basis. But we're more than happy to assess any queries that the GP may have and certainly that a patient may have.
We know a lot more about cancer than we used to, don't we? And the research into cancer goes on all the time. And what we know of it is, I think, prevention and early detection is key. Because it's so impactful in terms of the success of your treatment, isn't it? So what can people do to protect themselves?
So you're absolutely right. with the vast majority of diseases of cancer, prevention is paramount. Being healthy, eating healthy, being of a healthy weight, aiming to exercise on a regular basis. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go running, do a circuit class, walking, getting out of breath on a regular basis for short periods of time is really beneficial. In addition to that, it's really important patients don't smoke. Smoking vastly increases not just breast cancer, but many other cancers. And then also, as you say, early detection. So as well as the National Screening Service that will screen women from the age of 50, it's really important that both women and men check themselves on a regular basis. Although we as surgeons are experts, each individual is the expert on their own breasts. So it's really important that you know how your breast feels and then you can detect a change yourself. Everybody's a little bit different in how they can incorporate an examination into their routine. It doesn't need to be done any more than once a month, but most people feel that they perhaps need to do it a little bit more than that. And whenever I talk to women in breast clinic about how to do it, my advice is, I don't particularly mind how you do it, just do it the same way each time. Because if you do something the same way each time, then you are more likely to pick up a change. So the key things to look for is obviously if something feels different, if you can feel a lump, that's quite an obvious thing. But the more subtle things are changes in shape, perhaps a change to the skin, whether that be a change in colour, if there's any dimpling or puckering, or a change in size of one of the breasts. And then as well as the breast is to also have a little think about the nipple and exactly the same look to see if there's any shape change or colour or any liquid coming from the nipple.
I'm sure our listeners will appreciate that. And it's really important that we encourage women and men, because this isn't just exclusively a female disease, is it? And people forget that, to check regularly. Fiona, what is the most rewarding part of your work?
I think the most rewarding part of my job is when I see patients at the six-month point. They've had their surgery and most likely the vast majority of the additional therapy that they may need. And you see them and examine them and talk about how they're feeling. That's really rewarding to then say, okay, now is the time that you can now try and get on with things and build on from there. And I'm sure that part of that will be discussed now with your next guest about how that is possible and how that is perhaps done.
And just one final question then, Fiona, because clearly being a surgeon and dealing with people, they're most scared and most anxious and frightened points. And then also being able to give them great news as well when their treatment's been successful and they can return to their normal lives and hopefully continue to check, but kind of move on from that episode. That's a lot of pressure and huge responsibility. What do you do to kind of de-stress? What other things do you do to take your mind off such a important job?
So I am a wife and a mummy to a four-year-old little boy.
Oh, say no more. Not much time for anything else then.
Yeah. So that is absolutely my outlet. I mean, it is the most important part of my life. So that is my de-stress, that is my laughter, that is my happy place.
Great. Fiona, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. My next guest is Fiz Ahmed, a retired police officer and breast cancer survivor who now spends her lunchtimes with Steph McGovern on her Channel 4 show. And you're a real pro at this, Fizz. You are a regular now on this. So you're making me feel distinctly amateurish now. So tell me, how did you go from serving the people of Bradford as a police officer to a national TV star?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a national TV star. I retired in January 2020, and one of my friends was working across at the BBC at Salford Quays, and she told me in the June of 2020 that there was a show being launched in Leeds at lunchtimes, and they were looking for a live studio audience. And she asked me, you're not doing anything. And actually, I was quite busy because I was doing quite a bit of voluntary work, which was lovely. So long story short, Mel, she sent me the link. I didn't apply. She nagged me and I did apply. And as soon as I sent the email, I got the telephone call saying, we would love to have you on. Could you send us a little video? Sent the video. And then I've been there since the end of September 2020 to the present day. And they've kept asking me to come back series after series. And it's just a joy to be part of something local, to get something like that show, Steph's Packed Lunch, live out 5 days a week and to be involved. And I've met some incredible, not just famous people, but I've met some incredible people on there. So that's I just feel great. Totally privileged.
That's fantastic. It is a great show. It's a real fun, but lots of great content in there. And when we say that you were a police officer, obviously that conjures up a certain sort of role in people's mind. But in reality, you had a very special role, didn't you, towards the end of your career? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I did, yeah. In the last sort of four and a bit years, I was the Women's Engagement Officer for Bradford, which was for me the best ever policing role I ever had, because it meant that I had a handle basically on all the projects involving women of Bradford, and then I could add my own influence to that. And it was absolutely fantastic. And there was so much scope to add my own voice and my own opinion and to help shape projects, especially around issues that mattered to most of the women, and working on the ground and grassroots. And it wasn't just through the day. I worked various shifts and across the weekday as well. Mm. And it was wonderful to make such a difference.
Now, this subject is very close to your heart because you yourself were diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015. So could you talk to us a little bit about how you found out that you had breast cancer and your subsequent treatment?
It was a Sunday. It was the 15th of February. I'll never forget the day. And I had been talking to my sisters who were both over 50. And we'd been talking the previous day just about cancer and just about breast cancer. So I was in the shower on the Sunday morning and I just thought, do you know what? I will just self-examine myself. And in the shower, I found a lump in the left breast, small, but it was there. And I was immediately concerned because this wasn't right. I know what my body looks like. I look after myself. The job that I do was very physical. And so I know that it was important that I got that checked out ASAP. So that evening, I sent my boss a text message saying, look, I need to go to the doctors the following morning and book an emergency appointment because I've found a lump. And he said, yeah, sure, do what you need to do. And then I went to the doctors and she examined me and then she referred me to the hospital because she also agreed that the lump was there. I'll never forget sitting in this small room waiting for the consultant to come in. And he said to me, when I said, why has this happened to me? I don't drink, I don't smoke, I exercise. There are people around me who are abusing the body. And I just did not get it. And he sat back in his chair in this little room at St. James's Hospital. He looked at me in the eye and goes, you know what, Fazana? This is a lottery that nobody wants to win. And sadly, your numbers have come up. That's exactly what he said to me. I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget what he said to me. But I was with my husband and I was obviously just in floods of tears because it's like when someone mentions the C word, you think that's it. All I just thought about was my three kids. What about my kids? I didn't think about anything else. And it's just like, oh my gosh. But thinking about it now and reflecting a few years down the line, I kind of get that. I kind of get it that I was unlucky. But then it's about using your unluckiness and turning it around, doing stuff like this, going out there and helping. And I've been really fortunate I can go out there and use different platforms to talk about this.
Mm. And had you sort of been a regular at checking your breasts? Had that, you know, was it just on the back of that chance conversation that you did that?
Absolutely, Mel. It was on the back of that chance conversation. And no, I'm ashamed to say I did not check my breasts regularly because I thought, I'm only 40, 47, 46. Mm. And I, you know, for me, this is something that happens to somebody over 50. It really did take the wind out of my sails when I discovered that lump.
Mm. And since recovering from cancer, you've become a real ambassador for breast cancer awareness, particularly in the South Asian community. Can you tell us more about that, Fizz?
On my journey, on my breast cancer journey throughout, I met a number of women on my journey waiting outside for appointments and hospital wards. And it was interesting because their stories they shared with me when I told them what I did, because I was still in the police, they told them what I did. They were keen that people like myself went out to talk about breast cancer in and amongst communities because they never really got the support that they did. And the more that women spoke about breast cancer, the more awareness would be raised in the communities, not just with women, but with men too. Men supporting women on those very difficult journeys. So I was then in my position, because I was attending lots of events, to go out and to network with women and to raise awareness about breast cancer, about self-examination, and to get things checked out when things were not right. Immediately, and not to sit on things.
And because this is October and it's breast cancer awareness, and it's great that you're doing this podcast, what else do you have planned in that sort of ambassadorial role? Unofficial, so we're grateful for you taking that on board to promote breast cancer awareness.
I use Instagram and I will use my own Twitter feed to send messages out about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. The stuff that I do as well, on the Steph's Packed Lunch Show, that gives me the opportunity as well to speak and to be open about why it's important for self-examination and why it's important to get it checked out sooner rather than later.
And having been through this experience, Fizz, what would your advice be to anyone who, say, just today, they've decided for whatever reason today will be the day that they do a self-examination, or maybe they've even had breast screening today and something's been found that's unusual? What would your advice be to anyone who has concerns about that?
If you discover something and you know your own body and you know what's different, if you know that's not right, get it checked out by a medical professional as soon as possible. Don't let it fester. Don't put it off above another task, because what you put off today will develop into a week, into a month. And sometimes when you do decide to go, the outcomes might be different.
Thank you, Fizz. Well, that's it for this edition. You can find out more about Breast Cancer Awareness Month at breastcancernow.org. And there's more information about our breast surgery and our breast cancer screening on the Bradford Hospital website. A huge thank you to both of my guests today, Fiona and Fizz. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I do hope that our listeners really take on board your advice. And if they have any concerns, to seek that help as soon as they can.